In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. Yesterday, I went for a checkup to the doctor, but my doctor was on vacation, so I had a fill-in, another doctor. And one of the things that they do when I go there is that they take blood. So he started to take blood from my right arm. So I said to him, you know, Dr. Babion always takes it from my left arm because it's easier with my left arm. And the doctor said, well, you know what? There's nothing like success. So I'm going to do your left arm. There's nothing like success. When you succeed at something, you don't have to go looking around for other things. So he took the blood immediately from my left arm, and there's nothing like success. Now, what does that have to do with the gospel? It has everything to do with the gospel. I'm reading from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit, and he shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. Yes, here is my servant whom I uphold, my servant Jesus Christ, my chosen one with whom I'm well pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. You hear this? That the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that God the Father puts his spirit on him, the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit when he walked through Galilee and into Jerusalem. Completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was. Remember at his baptism, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the form of a dove. Remember what John the Baptist says, the one who sent me to baptize said, the one whom the Spirit alights on his head, he is to baptize with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, there's nothing like success. The Holy Spirit is the secret in the ministry of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he was completely dependent upon the Father and upon Jesus and upon the Holy Spirit. No, Jesus was completely dependent upon the Father and the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, this is success when we are completely dependent on the Father and the Holy Spirit, where we get our meaning from being beloved children of God. Beloved, we are God's sons and daughters now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light. But we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him. Like who? Like Jesus. For we shall see him as he is. Oh, we do not see him as he is at this point, but there will be a time by the grace of the living God when we will behold him face to face. Hallelujah. But until that time, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and after that time too. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do I need the Holy Spirit? If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, and that was his will, because he's true man as well as true God, if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, how much more does the church need the Holy Ghost? And I'm going to tell you, you know, here is my servant, my chosen one, with whom I am well pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. Yes. Who is the chosen one of the Father? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. His name is Jesus Messiah. And it's the Holy Ghost that is upon Jesus' ministry. It is the Holy Ghost that's on Jesus' life. It is the Holy Ghost that inspires Jesus. He said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it, that's what I'll do. And I don't say anything unless I hear the Father speaking to me. And how did the Father speak to Jesus? Most of the time, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's so simple. It's really simple. I don't want to make something complicated that's not complicated. There's nothing like success. Okay? Okay, let's look at the fourth chapter of St. Luke. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Okay, so, you know, this is something that Jesus did all the time. He would go to the synagogue because, you know, Nazareth is far away from Jerusalem. So you cannot go to Jerusalem every Sabbath, but you can go for the Passover, which they did, and you can go for other feasts. But now this is what's happening. You know, he comes to the synagogue. The synagogue was the place where the word of God was proclaimed and read. So he comes to the place where he has been a thousand times, really, the synagogue at Nazareth. And he comes and he stands up and takes the scroll. He takes the scroll. So he is the lector that day. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. It was delivered unto him. He didn't choose it. It was the liturgical reading of the day. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and bring recovery of sight to the blind and set at liberty those that are bound up." My Lord. Jesus is reading this beautiful passage from Isaiah, and he closed the book, or he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it again to the minister. He gave it again to the one in charge, and he sat down. Now, this is really something, because some people said that in the synagogues at the time, there was one seat that was always vacant. It was for Messiah when he came. Some people say he sat in the seat of Messiah. Listen. And he sat down, and the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" But what did he read? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." I'm telling you, Jesus was completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You know what? If the church goes any other way, it's going to go its own way. If I go any other way, I'm going to go my own way. And you know what? There's not going to be much fruit. Yeah, remember my song? Fruit, 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 12 times a year. Fruit, 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 12 times a year. We need fruit. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing like success. If we are going to do anything, we must be completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I'm reading now from Acts of the Apostles 1:14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren." And chapter 2, "On the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly," hallelujah, don't you love the suddenlies of God, "there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like fire, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You see, the birth of the church. The birth of the church, oh yes. How is the birth of the church conducted by God? The same way that he puts the Spirit on Jesus, now the Spirit is in the church. And if the church is going to succeed in being the messenger, she must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, I cannot do these things unless God gives me the wisdom to do these things and he gives me the Holy Spirit. You know what? I cannot do these things. How could I be preaching to you today unless God has given me his Holy Spirit? And you know, can I tell you a secret? Many times I come to this microphone without much to say. And I just know that if God doesn't do something by the Holy Spirit, his people are not going to be fed. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit and the early church needed the Holy Spirit to do its work, how much more does Father Tom need the Holy Spirit? How much more does the church in 2013 need the Holy Spirit? There's nothing like success, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing like success. As the doctor said, I'm going to take the blood from your left arm, because Dr. Babylon always finds a vein. So you know what? There's nothing like success. There's nothing like success. When something works, don't try to fix it. When something works in the power of God, don't try to fix it. Don't try to fix it if it works. It's already working. The Spirit of God was upon Jesus. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God on the early church. And what about us? If we are to do the works of Jesus, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, bringing freedom to the captives, bringing the evangelical message to those people that need to hear it. If we are to do what Jesus did, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God, just like Jesus was filled, and Jesus is God, and just like the early church was filled. Yes, now we can say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news. I am one of his members in the body of Christ, and I am absolutely dependent on the Holy Spirit. So what about you? You are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. If you want to do the works of God and you want to do what Jesus is calling you to do, you need the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. You know, there were tongues as a fire that alighted over their heads. I tell you today, if that happened in one church, they'd call 911 to put out the fire rather than, oh, hallelujah, let's nurture the fire. Let's nurture the fire. And they did nurture the fire. He went out and they start preaching. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. They preached the gospel. They preached the gospel. They preached the gospel. They were filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we're in 2013. The messenger, the church, needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, I am a messenger. I'm not the messenger. I am a messenger. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I am part of the church. I need what Jesus needed and what the early church needed. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because there's nothing like success. Oh, will some people reject the message? Of course. Some people will reject the message, but you know what? Some people will accept Jesus. Some people will give their life to Jesus. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't know when, but if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will glorify Jesus. We will proclaim Jesus. We will tell people of Jesus that he is living and not dead. He is among the living and not the dead. As it says in Luke 24, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised. I went to see the movie Les Miserables. As a matter of fact, I saw it twice. And you know, some of the scenes are very beautiful. Jean Valjean is a man that was in jail for so many years for stealing a loaf of bread for his sister and the baby. But you know what? When he leaves the jail. He goes to steal from a bishop, and the bishop feeds him, and while the bishop is sleeping, he steals the silverware. And the cops get him. Oh, yes, the cops get him. It's all about the cops getting him. But the bishop says, oh, you forgot to take the candlesticks. I gave all these things to him. And the next scene, you see Jean Valjean in the cemetery. This is where he dies. And a new person comes about. Someone who's born again. Because the bishop said, I have bought your soul with the blood of Jesus for God. Oh, yes, I can tell you, it takes the Holy Ghost to change a soul. It takes the Holy Spirit to change a person. There is no change in the person if the Spirit of God doesn't come upon them. Oh, there is no change. We just have the same old stuff. People say, how can you keep on preaching? Well, I never preach anything new. I preach what God has given me by the grace of God, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Listen, if the early disciples who knew Jesus face to face needed the Holy Spirit, how much more does the church in 2013 need the Holy Spirit? We know Jesus only by faith. Hallelujah. For this is the victory, St. John says. Even our faith. Our faith what? Inspired by the Holy Spirit. What does inspired mean? Breathed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathes in us. You know, there's a song, breathe on me, breath of God. Yes, breathe on me, breathe in me, breathe around me, that I would proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, that I would see the mighty acts of God working through your Spirit. Hallelujah. Nothing like success. There's nothing like success. It's a simple, simple thing that Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. The church needed the Holy Spirit, and Father Tom needs the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. But not only Father Tom, you know, anyone who's listening to me that's a Christian needs the Holy Spirit. If you're not a Christian, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. He'll lead you to Jesus. You see, I'm telling you that the Spirit of God is essential in the church. The Spirit of God is essential at the Eucharist. No Eucharist without the Spirit of God coming upon the bread and the wine. No Eucharist. It's just bread and wine until the Spirit of God comes and the priest prays, let your Spirit come upon these gifts like the dewfall. Oh, it's so beautiful. Like the dewfall, so gentle. But every blade of grass gets painted with the dew. Let the Spirit of God come upon these gifts. It's by the Spirit that we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It's because of the Holy Spirit. Then why can't we make the same experience with the preaching of the Word? It is by the Spirit that the Word needs to be preached, that Jesus needs to be preached, that we can say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I'm in Jesus. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, Jesus has not changed since Luke 4, and Jesus has not changed since Acts 2. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead wants to do the mighty works. And this is our victory, even our faith. Oh, yes, it takes faith. It takes that mustard seed of faith. I know it does. That mustard seed of faith that shows us that if I have just a mustard seed of faith, I have one just before me, and it is so small. You can say to this mountain, be thou moved, and it will be moved. Listen, I don't want to talk to mountains. I want to talk to people. You can say to people, if you are bankrupt, you can turn to Jesus and he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's all I need is a mustard seed of faith to preach the gospel. A mustard seed of faith asking that the Spirit of God would come upon us. And that's who we need. The church is in need of the Holy Ghost. The church is in need of a new Pentecost. When they started the Second Vatican Council, we all prayed in one accord that there would be a new Pentecost. Oh, do we need a new Pentecost? Do we need the gifts of the Spirit to be given? Do we need that we would be like the early church to go and proclaim the gospel to all people, starting with the Jews, going to the Gentiles? Oh, yes, we are in need of the Holy Ghost. What does Jesus say? You fathers among you know how to give good things to your children. If they ask you for a loaf of bread, you don't give them a stone. No. I don't know a good father that'll give your child a stone if they want a piece of bread. If you ask for a fish, they won't give you a scorpion. You fathers are sinners and you give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more? So much more. So much more. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, heal us and use us, Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Oh, do we need an outpouring of the Spirit? We do. I do. The church does. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Let us ask. Father, Father, I ask you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I ask you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that I would glorify Jesus as my Savior, that I would glorify Jesus as my Savior, that I would glorify Jesus as my Lord. That I would glorify Jesus as my Lord. I ask you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. As you were filled with the Spirit, Lord, when you did your public ministry, and the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit when she did her public ministry. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon the church in a new Pentecost. Pour out the Holy Ghost in a new Pentecost, that we would know the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he would lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would do the mighty works of Jesus. Yes, opening the eyes of the blind spiritually and physically, opening the ears of the deaf spiritually and physically, proclaiming the gospel to the broken so their hearts would be healed. Oh, Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. It's coming. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon Dolores. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon Benjamin. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon Carl. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon all your people who listen today. Oh, Father, we need the Holy Spirit. We need a new Pentecost. We need what the early church received. Oh, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning, and the bar rooms are not open. This is what the prophet Isaiah said in the last days. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, Jesus, how we need the Holy Ghost. We are dry. We are barren. Send forth the Spirit with rain, rain, rain to cover the desert areas of our heart so that the desert areas would blossom. For your reading today, take Isaiah 35, that the desert shall flourish, the desert of your heart. How? With the coming of the Holy Spirit, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with the glory of the Holy Spirit. I need Him. I'm absolute dependent upon you, Holy Ghost. I love you. I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you because you brought me right to Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit, because I see you doing the mighty works of Jesus when we pray in faith. I love you, Holy Spirit, because you're so wonderful that Jesus had to depend upon you in his public ministry. And if Jesus and the church needed to depend upon you, oh, so much more do we in 2013 need to depend upon you. Thank you for listening to me. Today, I had nothing to say. I said to Maria, I've got nothing to say today. But you know what? I guess God had something to say. God is so good. God is so good. You see, I'm just here giving you a piece of bread today. Bread, the Word of God. This beautiful Word of God under the anointing of the Spirit. I need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. Listen, broadcasts like these are very rare, not because of me, but because of the Spirit. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Come, Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.